Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I love the Lord our God and the King. And guess what? He loves us. And that's no guesswork. He loves us all. All of his children are dear to him. And when you're in his presence, you learn things about the Lord. You notice things. You're in communion with his Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. And you're in fellowship, and you sense things from him. I've sensed all forms of victories from the Lord, and I have a strong desire to do whatever he give me to do. I believe in what I'm doing. Jesus said, he that believe will do greater works than me. And I was thinking about the assignment that God had given me throughout the years, and me and my wife was talking about it this morning, and every time the Lord wants to introduce another glory, a new glory, which is light, which is more of his likeness, he usually does it through one person more than an organization, even though he uses organization, but they usually get on board after one man get on board. You know, I think of John Wesley. He was a circuit rider. He went around starting churches. He was really doing the work of an apostle. And he led people to the Lord, and he went around and made sure things were a circuit rider. He believed in what he was doing, and a lot of good. He was one of the foundational people of this wonderful nation. See, if you just had people in a land full of prosperity without God, you'd have a problem. But he turned many to righteousness. And, you know, even though there's tares among the wheat, the church is very triumphant. And I thank God for all levels of light, because whether you realize it or not, if you grew up in this country, you're standing on John Wesley's shoulders. And, you know, people didn't, he's the one who said, pray till you get the second blessing. Well, guess what? Another glory came out of that. People started speaking in tongues again. And the Holiness Church came about, or Pentecostal Church came about. They started paying more attention to the Book of Acts. And when people have a mindset, and that's where I'm going with this today, it's hard to transfer from a glory to a greater glory. And I wondered, I think a lot, and I ask questions. I said, Lord, I was wondering one day, what is the cause that the pastors didn't learn to follow God? Now, they were following God. They didn't completely turn their ears from my voice when I would give them messages about following God. They just did more of what they thought was right in the first place. In other words, they tried to follow God according to their specifications, and God wanted to train them and expose to them the problems that did exist and prepare them for the greater glory. They would have had to follow God to do it. Now, most people say, well, they approve themselves. Well, there's nothing wrong. I know what I'm doing. I've been to seminary. I've listened to the great men of God. I've learned about faith. I've been to Rhema. I've been to wherever they went. And they have a confidence. Well, that confidence can be a problem, just like it can be a blessing. The thing with God is this. The Holy Spirit was given to drive us in He was given to us by Christ to guide us into all truth. Jesus prayed the Father that he would send the Holy Spirit, and he did, to guide us into all truth. Now, Jesus didn't say that he would raise up seminaries to teach you everything you need to know, and then the Holy Spirit really won't have to guide you into all truth. He didn't say it that way. He said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, but what people do is once they learn something, and they get to, it's like plateauing. A plateau is a flat mountain, at the top of a flat mountain, basically. Or a high elevation, it's just flat on top. Well, they get there, hey, I don't see any more mountains for a while, so I'm on top of the world. Okay, well, But when you follow God, he takes you beyond what you see. And that's very necessary, because throughout the ages, men did not see it all. They saw a portion and they thought everything was all right. But it really wasn't. And God was going somewhere and they had to follow him to stay, to be in tune with him. So we need the Holy Spirit to guide us in all truth, no matter what our background is, no matter what our level of education is, no matter how wonderful the people you were taught by are. We need the guidance of the Holy Spirit to be prepared for this day and the future. Because there's a lot of problems in these days. And I wonder, why didn't they go forward? And the Lord told me it was because of seducing spirits. Now, that's another situation. I said, well, how did that work? They were overly confident in one thing. And the enemy, you know, he puts a bark. It's like when Jesus, the Lord told me this. I like to make things as plain as I can. I had a business in 1988, and I kept having the same kind of problem. I've talked about this often, so it ain't. It's true, so it ain't. It's good to hear it again. It was good. It was good then. It's good now. And the Lord gave me wisdom in how to solve my problem. And I believe he told me to start charting things down that I needed to do, the most important things first. Whatever it was, it worked. I forgot really this precise wisdom, because what he said next made a big difference. But I practiced it and I used it in life now, and it did work. But the other thing is this. I said, Lord, you knew that I needed to know that a long time ago. Why didn't you tell me months ago? He said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn my ways. And he told me that twice. The next time he said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn the ways of the Father. And I'm like, I was standing there. I was going to UAB in those days. I said, huh, what else am I missing out on? And that's when I made my vow, which became useful in me learning what I'm about to share with you. And a lot of other things that happened because I made the vow. I said, Lord, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to do whatever you say, whether I like it or not, I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey you. Whether I love it or like it, I'm going to obey. I meant it too. Because now I started asking questions, not only things that I didn't know. And, you know, that's when people learn and graduate in life, when they know they don't know. But I started asking him about things that I did know to see if there was greater information, to see what he'd say. Sometimes he would let me know I was on point, or sometimes he showed me another side to it that I didn't see. So that became very useful. Now, following God takes you to a broader plane of life. It prepares you for what's down the road, because you're trusting God, who sees through time. Not just what's around you. He see what's behind you, on the side. He see what's in your blind spot. He know all the plots of the enemy. He know all the plots of the human enemies. And he'll show you how to. He'll show you what they're doing, what they're planning. And he's done this. I'm saying these are things that he helped me with. He will show me what people said about me, or how they felt about me, what they were planning to do. And then he showed me how to love them and not get caught in that trap if it was wicked. And if they were good for me to be around, I'd know it. And I'd secure that friendship. I'd pray for that friendship. Because good friendships, they don't come easy. There are people you need to keep in your life. And you need to pray for them. And you need to remain brothers, because you're a network. Jesus said, where two or three of you are gathered together, there am I in the midst. And when you have company like that, that you trust, that love you, that's not against you, you need to keep those friendships alive. But people who are deadly, or people who are divisive, you know, you need God to give you wisdom. And when you talk about the word, people that don't mean you any good, they're going to leave your life. That's just the way it is. God is also, he's not just a healer, he's also a divider. He said, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. Now, peace among those that will love peace, yes. But not peace, not friendship with the world, no. So when people really love the world, they will excuse themselves. And they will do things that's divisive. And you have to follow God. Now, it's the same thing in ministry. Some people are tares, but they are preachers. They got reverend in front of their name. Sometimes they have prophet in front of their name or apostles. There were false apostles in the beginning. What make you think there's not going to be some more? So if you're following God, he will alert you to who's who. But some people they don't even give that a thought. They know that this is a man of God. They know that this is a woman of God, and they don't pay attention. Well, you don't have that luxury. You have to watch and pay. You have to watch and pray. And the people that God sent you to and put in your life, you have to pray for them. And they're not going to always agree, but that doesn't mean anything. But when you're looking at the Lord, he will help you be appropriate at all times to protect you and what you're doing. So following God is very necessary. Also, learning things that you may not know. God can't usher you into the next glory until you solve some problems. Now, he taught me years ago that if he couldn't give the anointing to the measure he wanted to on people, unless people grew up and became mature and they got to follow him. Sometimes they needed to learn they needed all kind of things. It wasn't just a specific group of things for everybody. It was different. Some people had strengths that others didn't have. They had already passed tests in some areas, and they needed to pass. God needed to prepare them in areas that they were weak so he could pour that anointing on them. And the anointing was going to attract everything they need and all the people that they could bless. But they didn't know that. I couldn't tell them. All I could tell them to do was follow God. I couldn't give them details because God told me not to. All I could do is what he gave me to give to them specifically. And personally, and I did that. But I wonder, why don't they follow him? He said it's because of seducing spirit. It goes right back to me, what I was doing in my business. When a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn the ways of the Father. But when you're in the Father's presence, you start thinking like him and operating in a greater way. And this is what's very necessary for not just preachers, but for everybody. So the Lord told me what he would do if they didn't. He said it's better if they do it. Because God that was like 30 years ago. He could have raised them up to be great men of God, and it would have set a greater standard, and people would have, he would have built their churches from the foundation up. But he said, if they don't follow me now, I'm going to have to go around them, and I'm going to raise up a people that will. And that's what he did. Now, God has secured this thing. He knows what he's doing, and he's right. He's good at it. He did what must be done. Now, I'm saying these things not to shame anybody. I believe in God's people, and I love God's people. And before I began, he taught me his kind of love. One reason I trusted God before he taught me these things, he gave me a very strong love for the pastors. I love pastors, and I love all of them. But they did not follow him to God's specifications, and he couldn't promote them to his perfect will. So what I want to do now is point out some things so that the next generation and this generation don't fall into the same problem. Now, if you've been listening to these broadcasts, you know how important it is. But I want to share with you some of the things that I run into, because you're going to run into it, because that's what people are doing. It goes back to what Jesus said in the first place. When he washed his disciples' feet, he said some things. But before I go there, I'm going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now, this is Paul talking to Timothy. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. He said latter times, not latter days. Because latter times is hundreds of years before the latter days. This deception started a long time ago. And people do what they see their predecessors do. When I say predecessor, I mean the generation that's before them, the people that taught them. You know, like Elder Lewis, his predecessor would be Bishop Bonner. My pastor, Jim McCann III, and Jim McCann III, he's the father. He turned the church over to Jim McCann IV. Well, his predecessor is Kenneth Hagin, and the pastors that were in his era, in his that trained him, especially Kenneth Hagin. That was his predecessor. All right, my predecessor would be Elder Lewis, and then his predecessor is Bishop Bonner. That's what I mean by predecessor. They came before us. And so, now, comparing what I learned from all the great men of God that I listened to, and I did listen to Kenneth Hagin, Charles Capps, and many others that I love. I grew up listening to them on the radio, Frank Manchin locally, and Scott Webb locally, and Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland. I heard him from time to time, not as much as I did Kenneth Hagin. And but I listened to these great men of God, and I love them. And eventually, Creflo Dollar, I started listening to him. And I thank God for great men of God, but I never stopped listening to the Holy Ghost. And there are many others that I didn't name. My dad was, and my mother were pastors, and Reverend Rice. These were great men of God too. And they walked in their light, and you know, I said earlier in other broadcasts, my parents didn't know much about authority over Satan, but they stayed out of trouble. Better than some Pentecostals that do know about authority. Anyway, I've seen great things. Now, this is why I'm bringing this up. Seducing spirits, they don't tell you to do evil as much as they get you to. They seduce you into a slumber comfort. They make you feel, you know, you can't fight Satan on his level. You can't fight Satan if you think like him. Now, I'm going to explain all that later. But the seducing spirits have already gone for. There's a lot of things that people don't watch out for. And I want to unlock this thing. That's the purpose of this broadcast. I want to show you how Jesus thinks. So, you know, Pastor Jim III said the best way to do anything is to go right and go look at Jesus before you get too far ahead. And he's right. St. John, let's see, chapter 13. Okay. Here it is, St. John chapter 13. I'll start at verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After he pours water into a basin and began to wash the after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to, now look at the mindset of Jesus. He's the King of Kings washing the disciples' feet. He's the one who had all the answers. He's the one who had the relationship. He's the one who worked miracles. And now he's washing their feet. Now watch what Simon Peter, this is the mindset of man. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, doest thou wash my feet? This was confusing to Peter. Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou wilt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Now, what's the difference between the way Peter thought in that moment and the Pharisees? Peter, he felt like Jesus shouldn't be doing this. If anything, I should be washing his feet. But he didn't understand where Jesus was going yet. But this is a mindset, and a mindset can be like a runaway train. Nobody can stop it. unless you have more light. Without more light, once people have a runaway train mindset in their mind, they will not stop. They will continue and pass on darkness to the next generation. Darkness. I meant darkness too. Okay. Continue. Verse 9. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are all clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. Now, if you notice, this didn't do Simon, this didn't do Judas Iscariot any good, because the devil was not going to repent. Peter did repent. Lord, don't, not just my feet, but my hands and my head too. And Jesus explained. But let's continue. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye not what I have done to you? Ye call me master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. One another's feet. One another's feet. The church needs to humble itself and wash their brother's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent it. I'll say that again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye, and if ye do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Talking about Judas again. And he said, now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. So, and then he said this. Now, never forget this one. Verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth, whomsoever I send receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. So when God sent me to go and warn people about following God, he gave them enough to go on. He would give me a word at home and I go to church. They're preaching it. We don't really know each other. Some pastors I didn't know, some I did, but I didn't know what they were going to preach on. I just wrote what God said. Not only that, I had a guy helping me. Kevin Houston was helping me, and we went to a church. I didn't know what he wrote in his notebook, and he didn't know what I wrote in my notebook, but we didn't know what each other wrote. And I read mine, and he read his to the pastor. And it was identical. It was so similar. So they had a reference that we came from God. We came from the Father, and we did this work by the Holy Ghost. So we gave them, and before that, I'm sure, God was dealing with them about these things before we ever got there. But they still did it that way and not God. They didn't do things to God's specs. And sometimes if they had humbled themselves, they would have asked questions. And then God would have, by the anointing, he would have had me to answer things that would have helped them. That hardly helped. I don't really remember that happening with any pastor. Because I had instructions. God wants people to catch on and receive what he's saying. But this is something I continually ran into. When people believe something a certain way, they stick to it. They're not adjustable. And if you do something different, and let's say there's a church on one side of town, there's another one on the other side, people believe their pastor, and they think they got the best pastor, and they judge things based on what their pastor has taught them. And they don't really want to hear what your pastor has to say. Now, that's not the only rule. This is just something I've continually run into from time to time. Thank God it's not the total rule, but it happens more than it should. In other words, if you didn't learn from my school or my pastor or believe like my assembly, you're just a peon. And I'm saying this with love. This is how people operate. People stay in their club, so to speak. Well, preacher, you sound like you're rebuking. I am rebuking. This is a problem that needs to go away. We should be washing each other's feet and learn to listen to one another. In the Baptist mind, when the foolish things that happen in Pentecostal churches, people don't want to do that. They're trying to serve God the best they know, and that's not how they've been taught. But at the same time, people are getting healed and delivered, and they need that. You know, none of these things, no matter what church we go to, and no matter how many miracles happen, sometimes something stupid happens. Just like in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, they were in competition trying to outspeak in tongues each other and out-prophesy each other. And Paul had to write them and tell them, look, you can't do that. They're going to think you're crazy. And so they were able to repent and move along. But now let's say there was no Apostle Paul. That would have turned into a big fat mess, just like it does today. Brothers talking against brothers. You know, when a lot of times the way is going to be evil spoken of. Well, guess what? Most of the time, that's Christians against Christians. Not just the world. And the world is already crazy. But if we were living the light, more people would come. But if we're talking against each other, people say, I'm on fool with that. Why should I go and get into somebody else's argument? We need to wash each other's feet. I thank God for television and TBN and others, Daystar, because one thing that it did, it bridged the clubs. You're watching TV at home. You got your favorite Baptist preacher, your favorite Methodist preacher, your favorite Catholic teacher on TV. And then when he go off, here comes a Pentecostal pastor. When he go off, here comes a Word of Faith pastor. When he go off, here comes a Methodist pastor. And guess what? Some of them are outstanding. Because the journey of their life, God was able to work with the life that they had. When you're washing people's feet, when you say, okay, all right, it's all right that I know that you don't believe this way, but listen to what they do believe. That's what I'm talking about. When people start talking against each other, that's divisive. And when the Lord is going to do something great, just like with Joseph, he had those dreams that his brothers and his mother and his father were going to bow down before him. You know, let's go look at it. The mindset of man once it strikes again. Well, before I do, let's see. 1 John 14. Jesus said many things that were so perfect. He wants us to love with his kind of love. And it may have been 13 again. Oh, here it is. This is 13 verse 34. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. A new commandment I give to you. Now he's talking to his disciples. They're the first in charge. They're the generals. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. But if one start talking against the other, then it's going to look like a worldly cult. No different than another dead religion. But if you have love one another, people are going to know you are my disciples. And this is what anchors the church to the heart of God. So, now let's look at what would happen if these wonderful brothers that are the patriarchs would have done that. All the things that could have been done if God know how to work around mischief. Thank God he does. You know, the first part of Genesis 37, you know, his father favored him. You know, he made the coat of many colors. Then he dreamed a dream in verse 9. I'll start at verse 9. Well, the first one is that verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Now, he already had a coat of many colors. His daddy was his father's favorite. They got to a point where they hated him because they couldn't speak peaceably to him. When people have that kind of hatred in their heart, they can't say nothing good about you. That's just how it is. All right, verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hate him yet the more. Now they really hate him. What if they had the attitude, well, let's listen to, maybe God is doing something in our brother, and maybe we ought to pray that it happens. Maybe, you know, but see, the proud mind, the preeminent mind can't do that. The preeminent mind cannot, it's impossible for the preeminent mind to put anybody else first in love, in the God kind of love. Remember, Jesus just said, if you love each other like I love you. Love each other like I love you is what he told them to do. That's the light. If you're anchored to that, you will always win. You cannot defeat Satan with a satanic mind. It's not going to happen. Don't expect it to happen. Expect to be seduced. If you try to live without, if you try to live according to Satan's ways and fight him back, you're not going to win. You can't win against Satan if you think like him.